Welcome to the final week of our series called Reunited, Forgiveness Feels So Good. We have been looking at a step-by-step plan on how to forgive, because letting go of resentment can be one of the most difficult things some people ever do. Old hurts, you know, traumas from the past, deeply rooted grudges can keep them from moving forward in a positive way. We started this series saying that God is the best forgiver of all. He's in the forgiveness business, always has been, so we should learn from him, learn from the best. We should learn from God, and that's because God does not see things the way we do. We tend to judge by the appearance, but God looks into the heart. He sees the goodness and decency in everyone, even when they hurt other people. Forgiveness is really what builds God's kingdom. When you reconcile with an enemy and make peace, you're literally onboarding them. You're bringing them into the fullness of God's life and love. And you are building a better character for yourself in the process, strengthening your inner core, so to speak, and developing a great habit of forgiveness. And as we said last week, forgiveness is not just a personal decision. It actually changes the spiritual climate for everyone around you. Your home, workplace, your neighborhood, your community, your world all feel a little lighter and freer because of the atmosphere you create when you put the hurt behind you and move on. This is what we've talked about up to this point. And today, in the final week of the series, the time has come for you to make a decision. I want to talk with you today about choose the higher way. We all make choices, right? That's obvious. Some are small, like what to wear, whether to go out to eat or dine in, what show to watch or book to read next. Some decisions are bigger, whether to switch jobs or careers, start a new business, try an experimental medical treatment. But whatever it is, the time comes when you have to make a decision. It's the same with forgiveness. You have to choose. You can choose to stay angry, dwell on the injustice, dream up ways of getting back at the person who hurt you, or you can choose to forgive. A lot of people think, when I stop being so angry about it, then I'll move on, I'll let it go. Or when that jerk finally apologizes for what he did, and I mean really apologizes, then I might forgive him after I calm down. Or when I'm done with being angry and I don't have to worry anymore about trusting that person, then I'll start thinking about reconciliation. The problem with that is it gives too much power to your emotions. You're allowing yourself to be controlled by your feelings, swayed by your passions. Your emotions are real, but they are not the boss of you. Feelings come and go, but you always have the ability to choose one path or another. Even when your heart is hurting, angry, confused, and upset, you still have the power to do the right thing. Forgiveness is not something you feel. It is something you do. It is an act of the will. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to pretend the betrayal didn't hurt. But when you make the choice, the decision to forgive, and trust God to heal the hurt feelings over time, when you choose the higher way, even when you're not ready for it, even when you're not feeling it, then you will rise higher, and over time, eventually, your heart will catch up to your decision. Book of Sirach, in today's first reading, the author reminds us that every day God gives us a choice. We are not bound by fate. We are not victims of forces beyond our control. We have free will to decide whether to obey God or to turn away from him, to keep his covenant or to break it. Sirach says, Before man is set life and death, whichever he chooses shall be given him. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. The decision is ours and ours alone. The enemy can tempt you, but he can't force you to do the wrong thing. He can't take away your moral agency, your decision-making power, your ability to choose good over evil. Not even God will do that. Sirach says, no one does God command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. Bottom line, you have all the power you need to make the decision to forgive and start the process of rebuilding trust. That's why the first reading today says, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. And one of those commandments has always been forgiveness. Scripture says in the book of Leviticus, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. For the ancient world, that was unheard of. Back then, in most cultures, it was just the opposite. Someone hurt you, you hurt them right back. But God wanted a higher and better way for his people. For example, in the law of Moses, if you cheated someone or committed fraud, you had to make it right, not only by paying back what you stole, but also adding a 20% premium to it. It was like an apology for what you had done. And then, and only then, could you offer a guilt sacrifice to God in the temple. The message was, don't bother trying to reconcile with God until you have repaired the damage with the other person, until you have repaired the relationship with the other person. And even that passage we all know from Exodus 21, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that wasn't about unlimited payback or unfettered retribution. It was meant to keep the desire for retaliation in check. Because back then, most people did not think of revenge as proportional justice or evening the score. They thought of it as getting even and more. If someone hurt you, you were well within your rights to inflict even greater punishment back, even greater punishment up to and including death in some cases. But God said to his people, don't escalate the situation. Don't add fuel to the fire. Don't make matters worse. What am I saying? All through Scripture, God encourages his people to make amends and forgive one another. Years ago, I went to graduate school in Los Angeles. I lived in this big apartment building right across the street from a beautiful park. And every day I would go out in the park for a walk. I'd take my little dog, a miniature dachshund. He was all of 8 pounds soaking wet. Cute as a button, I called him Vladimir. Big name for a little dog. But he earned it because he was fierce, courageous, not scared of anyone or anything. Anyway, we once met this couple out in the park. They also had this little dog, a tiny chihuahua. Well, the dogs got along and so did the people. And over time, we all made friends. After a few months, they asked me if I would watch their dog while they went on vacation. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to help. So several times a day, I went over and fed him, changed his water, and took him for a walk in the park. And I don't know what happened, but on the last day before they were supposed to come back, it totally slipped my mind. I forgot to go over. By the time I realized my mistake, it was too late. They had come home, seen that I had not been there. The dog was fine, but they were furious. And I didn't blame them. It's their dog, their beloved dog, and I had made a mistake. I admitted it. I apologized many times. But they said, the relationship is over. Lose their phone number. Forget I ever knew them. Don't ever contact them again. It's pretty extreme. For a long time, I just kept trying and trying to repair the damage. I'd see them out in the park. I'd start to walk over, but they would look away, avoid me, pretend not to see me, sometimes even pick up their blanket and go to another part of the park. I practically put on sackcloth and ashes, but nothing doing. Then, after several months, I was out walking in the park. I saw one of them sitting there. I just kept going by because by that time I had gotten the message loud and clear. But to my surprise, she waved me over, invited me to sit down and talk. In that conversation, she told me she had finally calmed down and had forgiven me. Eventually, they both did. But that was after many, many months. When we feel wronged by other people, it's easy to let our emotions rule the day. I wonder if there's been a time in your life, and I'm sad to admit that there has been one or more times in my life, when I have cut a relationship off with someone because of what they did. But then I look back on it, like years later, and I realize what they did was really more like a small oversight, a minor mistake, an honest mistake, and somehow I blew it out of proportion. But that's what can happen when we let our feelings take charge. Without meaning to, we can escalate the situation when what we really need to do is choose the higher way. In today's gospel, Jesus teaches us how to prevent friction and misunderstanding in human relationships. He doesn't say, escalate the situation. He says, elevate the situation. In the law of Moses, for example, you were not allowed to kill or take innocent life. Seems obvious. But Jesus went beyond the minimum and said, don't even be angry with other people. Don't call them a fool or an idiot, like that jerk that I was tailgating the other day because he was going 30 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. That's unreasonable, right? Just holding me up, and I'm muttering under my breath, you jerk, don't you know I'm in a hurry? That's exactly what Jesus does not want us to do. The law said that you could take people to court, but Jesus said, don't always be on the warpath. Hauling them into court, dragging out the proceedings, be reasonable. Settle with your opponent and move on. The law said, don't commit adultery. But Jesus took it a step farther and said, don't treat people like objects. The law allowed men, and men only, to divorce their wives for no reason whatsoever. But Jesus took that decision to a higher level and said, there has to be a lawful cause to do that. Under the law, you could not lie under oath, another obvious rule. But Jesus knew that back then, in that culture, the kind of oaths they would take could be misleading. It would be a way of lying without really lying, a technicality. So he said, don't swear at all. Be honest. Speak with the utmost integrity. Make the best choices. Here's the principle. It is not possible to regulate human relationships fully and perfectly simply by following the letter of the law. You have to choose the higher way. Jesus wanted his disciples to take the law and get it down in their spirits so that it would become something they didn't have to force themselves to obey. That's why he said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Because once he had fulfilled the law in himself, in his own person, his spirit would allow his disciples to take the spirit of the law into themselves and always choose the higher way. Forgiveness and good relationships were so important to Jesus that he went on to say in the gospel, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. In other words, don't talk nice to God until you're ready to talk nice to the person you hurt or the person who hurt you. Jesus was so serious about this, he used some pretty strong and even frightening language in the gospel to get his point across. And that's because among his disciples, even a minor insult would be a serious offense. He was saying, don't live with resentment. Don't treat other people with contempt. Don't refuse to reconcile. Because at the end of the day, it's just going to destroy your relationships, your community, and your soul. The church has often been called a haven for saints and a hospital for sinners. But the truth is, I think most of us are here because we need forgiveness. We need mercy. And sometimes, so does the church. Over the centuries, the church has done some amazingly good things for the world, but has also caused some great pain. And that is because it is made up of human beings who often fall short. Some of you may have been hurt by someone in the church, a priest, a nun, a monk, a teacher, maybe a fellow parishioner. You weren't listened to, you were judged, you were disregarded, or maybe you were deeply wounded in some other way. People share this with me a lot, and I hear it a lot, but I need you to hear this. That pain matters. It matters to God, and it matters to me. And so, if you need to, and if you're ready to, and if you're willing to, I invite you to consider forgiving the church. Not because what happened wasn't important or because it didn't matter, but because God wants you to experience the fullness of his freedom in his kingdom. On the cross, water and blood flowed out of the side of Jesus. It represented baptism and Eucharist, the beginning of the church. And in that moment, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. On behalf of myself, if I've ever done anything or said anything that has hurt you, and on behalf of the church, the whole church, I say in whatever way I can, I'm sorry. And if there's some way, if you can find it in your heart, please forgive us. Everyone needs to forgive someone. And as we close out this series on forgiveness, and we move into Lent, a season of spiritual renewal and honest self-examination, I thank you for choosing forgiveness. When you put the resentment behind you, release old grudges, quit letting the past dictate your future. Great things happen. God goes to work. He begins to heal what was broken, restore what was lost, and make you whole again. But you have to choose the higher way.